This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Second hour of the program here, the number 603-283-6160. You can bring up absolutely anything you want. 603-283-6160. It's Ian, Aria, and Mark joining you here tonight. We started out the show with this news about the fair tax, so-called. It is back in the news, and it's maybe going to get the very first ever vote that the fair tax proposal has ever received in the House of Representatives. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to pass. It'll be interesting, though, to see how it does. And then, of course, will it get a vote in the Senate? There's no guarantee of that. The so-called House Freedom Caucus did get this McCarthy character who got elected last week to the House of Representatives Speaker's seat.
The Freedom Caucus, that's like Justin Amash and those dudes.
I don't think Justin Amash is in the House anymore, but it wouldn't have surprised me if he was part of that.
These are liberty-leaning Republicans.
There's no such thing. It's quote-unquote freedom. Right?
Justin Amash was okay.
He was, but there ain't 20. Like, there was 20 people who were the holdouts on this McCarthy guy, and there's not 20 Justin Amashes up there.
No.
Right? Let's go to the phones here. We got Jimmy on the line in Missouri. Jimmy, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yeah, this whole fair tax is really a big old hornswaggle.
Tell me about it.
Well, honestly, you could have about $7 to $15 trillion worth of tax revenue come in every year if you only taxed every transaction that happens in the U.S. by 1%.
You said $7 to $15 trillion? Is that what you said?
Yes. Yeah, because every single day, and this is from Business Insider, every single day there's about $2 to $5 trillion that changes hands in the U.S.
Really? Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, but if you tax every single transaction, a lot of those transactions are going to be taxed multiple times. Let me think about how to.
Well, just to clarify, this
convey.
Only would tax retail, so you wouldn't be taxing wholesale. So those money's moving, right? Like those.
That's what I was going to bring up. I suspect these transactions that he's talking about includes wholesale and.
They've got to.
This is a value-added tax, right?
Go ahead, Jimmy. What?
Yeah, and it would include all of it, services, wholesale, retail, all of it. But, I mean, if you think about it, it'd be a lot less taxes that, you know, people would pay. I guess it'd kind of diffuse out there.
No, not at all. What you're suggesting is a value-added tax.
I don't think that's what you're saying. You're not saying you, are you saying that? Are you saying you would support the 1% tax at all levels, meaning wholesale, product? Okay, I see. So that is what you're saying.
That's because there's about $2 to $5 trillion every single day that changes hands.
I think the problem there, and I get where you're coming from, Jimmy, but I think the problem there is, and the problem with the so-called value-added tax, is you get a lot of this in Europe, for instance. They have the so-called VAT value-added tax there. With a value-added tax, you're hiding the taxation. And I think there's a problem when, so while it might raise the revenue, it might increase the revenue or whatever, which I don't want to see happen. I don't want the government to get more money, that is for sure. But you don't want to hide the taxes from the end taxpayer. I'd much rather somebody get hit with a 20% tax at a retail cash register so they feel it and they know that they're getting hit by the federal government rather than building it into the cost of the products from the wholesale level.
Yeah, but building in 1%, that's not much.
It's 1% repeatedly, though. So, like, it's 1%. You're paying a dollar additional, an additional dollar for every $100 you spend, yes, but what was a $1 pair of scissors initially
might be a $6 pair of scissors. Well,
it's now significantly more expensive.
If you're talking about transactions, we're not just talking about things from the manufacturer to the middleman to the retailer. You're also talking about just banks moving money, and they move a tremendous amount of money. And currently, if I were to move money from my Chase account to my Schwab account or something like that, that would be a transaction, and it would fulfill what the gentleman's talking about. And I would certainly prefer not to pay 1% to move money from one account to another when all I've done is use the SWIFT system.
Is that your proposal as well, Jimmy, is that every bank transfer would also get hit for 1%?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds pretty bad, but I don't know. I almost feel like it might actually kind of work itself out, because people might be able to do things more efficiently, and, you know, instead of doing
they'll certainly find ways to be more efficient.
I like the idea. I have to admit, I think it's a good way to get people to start using cryptocurrency and to get away from the USD.
Well, yep. At this time, no one has proposed. Go ahead, Jimmy.
The market finds a way.
Indeed. Hey, thanks for the call tonight, man. I definitely appreciate hearing from you. The number, if you want to join us here, is 603-283-6160. So I said before we went to the top of the hour break, I wanted to know if the welfare check aspect of the fair tax was included. This is something that we talked about when we first interviewed the fair tax person back in, I don't know, 2006 or 2005 or whenever it was. And the proposal, Aria, since you haven't been familiar, I'm sure a lot of our listeners aren't familiar with it, we already outlined the bulk of the fair tax. The stuff that's getting promoted is going to be that, hey, it's a national sales tax. They're going to abolish the IRS. You're going to see it's going to be a high sales tax, maybe 20, 23%, something like that. So it's going to hurt. But that's got its benefits, right? Just people would see what the
spend
the cost
less,
is,
and
right?
You'll pay less in taxes.
Right. And then you get to the detail, and it's an ugly, in my opinion, detail here about this welfare check. Now, they're calling it a rebate. It is not called welfare, according to them. It is a rebate. And what they're doing is they have what they call the Family Consumption Allowance. I'm reading this directly from the bill here that is going to be voted upon in Congress. Quote, each qualified family shall be eligible to receive a sales tax rebate each month. The sales tax rebate shall be in an amount equal to the product of the rate of tax imposed by Section 101, so let's say it's 20%, and the monthly poverty level. Now, what is the monthly poverty level? You can go down in the bill, and it will describe for you what the monthly poverty level is. It is essentially 1/12 of what the Department of Health and Human Services defines as the annual poverty level. So there's a certain amount every year, and it's adjusted every year, but there's a certain amount that each person or family of four or family of two or whatever can earn below that, and they will be considered to be, quote-unquote, under the poverty level. So they're going to take that amount. They're going to divide it by 12, and right now the amount for individuals is $13,590. The amount for a family of four is $27,750. So let's just take that number here, divide that by 12. That's $2,312 a month, but remember we have to multiply that times, let's call it 23%, which might be the tax. A family of four would get a check for about $531 every month from the federal government under this program.
And so every family of four?
Well, any family of four that has registered themselves with the Department of Revenue, whatever the department is that would be handling the issuance of these checks.
So the government, see, I knew there would be some sort of stupid catch that took a really simple, not awful idea and turned it into this cluster F of madness.
To be fair, you do not have to register, so it is not mandatory, because obviously if you don't want
to... Yeah, but you're getting $500 a month to register.
People are going to register. Yeah, exactly. So they'll have to fill out some sort of form in order to register their family. Everybody has to have a social security number, that kind of thing. In theory, the form should be relatively straightforward. It won't be complicated like the IRS, at least not initially. And so that would be the requirement here. And I think the real problem, of course, is now you've basically created a UBI.
Yeah.
Right? UBI being...
which they've been wanting to do for a few years now. They've been very open about it.
Right, universal basic income, quote-unquote. Now, of course, this isn't called income from a legal standpoint. It's called a rebate. And the idea of it,
And, you know, you can't fault them for the idea, at least, I don't think, on its face. The idea is that, hey, if you're a poor person, you get some money back, basically. If you are... Now, of course, they don't require...
Well, there's no way for you to go...
I'm sorry? Oh, I thought I heard Mark trying to jump in there. Sorry.
Well, there's no way for you to go to a store and be like, look, I only make whatever number you said, $13,000 a year, so I can't afford these taxes. And the cashier at Walmart go, oh, okay, well, you're exempt from taxes then.
No, it wouldn't work that way.
I know. The only way they could achieve it would be with a rebate.
Yeah, and so the check would go to everyone who has a family that would apply for this. Maybe in theory it would go to an individual as well. I'm not sure about that. But anybody who applies for this rebate would receive the rebate on a monthly basis. Now, they're talking about checks in this particular bill, but eventually that would likely be updated to include the CBDC, the Central Bank Digital Currency.
That's exactly what I was about to say. And if you want that rebate, you got to install this app.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they'll send it directly to you there.
That's where this could go.
And that's how one of the ways they're going to incentivize paying with the CBDC, too, is they're going to say, hey, look, we can't collect our tax unless you use our currency. So all those cryptocurrencies, they're a problem.
Mark, you mentioned a really good point earlier that I just want to bring a little bit more attention to, and that is the reality that the federal government is extremely unlikely to do both things. They're extremely unlikely to get rid of the income tax and impose this fair tax, this sales tax. They are far more likely to do both. This will be the middle ground that we mentioned earlier that politicians...
The Democrats can get behind.
Yeah. They like coming together and working out deals, and that'll be their agreement. It's like, okay, well, we'll do this and we'll do that. We'll give you a 10% income tax, and we'll knock X percent off the income tax for everyone, and we'll do this sales tax. And sure, it will sound great at first.
That doesn't sound great at all.
No.
No, there's no one to whom that'll sound great. What they could do instead, Aria, is do it like they did with the income tax originally. If you recall, back in the old days of 1913, when they first came out with the income tax, it was only going to apply to the richest of the rich.
Hmm.
And so there was a certain income level that would trigger the income tax. And then what happened was, you know, inflation, of course, happened, and you know, $4,000 or whatever the arbitrary number was that they picked wasn't what it was back in 1913, and so more and more people, just by virtue of inflation, was qualifying for it. And of course, then they changed the rules, and then they made it so everybody qualified. So they could sell this by saying, hey, look, we don't want to fire all of our wonderful IRS employees. I mean, these people have families. We've got to help. We've got to take care of them from time immemorial. So we'll do this national sales tax, but we'll keep the income tax only for people earning more than $100,000 a year or something like that.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. And these numbers will start out small. And when I say it sounds great, I don't mean that it sounds great to people like us. But the average person will be like, yeah, I can get behind this. This makes a lot of sense. And those numbers will just steadily go up until you're ultimately paying both a 30% federal income tax and a 30% sales tax.
Right. I mean, if you ask people, they're going to say taxes are necessary, and I think they're great so long as I don't have to pay them. And so as long as you can go after those people, you know, the top 10% of earners, or what's the number? The 99%, right? So they go after the 1% of earners or 1% of value holders, whatever, however they figure out to do it. And they're going to tax them as much as they can. Then they can just keep the whole apparatus running because, honestly, it's the top 10% of earners that pay income tax now. I mean, you know, most of what people call income tax is FICA, which is Social Security and Medicare payments. And the vast majority of Americans really don't pay that much.
Right. Like I said, in my experience, it's usually about 15 to 20%. Of my check going to federal income taxes. And that may actually include FICA, F-I-C-A, which I don't even know what that stands for. But
I have no clue either.
I don't know exactly what I'm paying in federal income taxes. And because there's so much that comes out of your check, right? And I suspect the average person doesn't sit down. It may not even be as high as 15%. It may be something closer to 10% that I pay in actual federal income taxes. I don't know the number.
Federal Insurance Contribution Act, and generally what happens is that people pay 7.5% into FICA, and then their employer matches that 7.5%. If you pay with small business tax, which is essentially just FICA for small business people, then you're going to pay 15% because you're paying all of your own stuff.
It's so confusing. And I don't know why employers are matching employees' tax contributions in the first place. None of it makes any rational sense to me.
Well, the reason is so that it doesn't look like the employee is paying as much. The federal government doesn't want the employee to feel like they're paying, but anything that an employer pays to keep an employee around might as well be income, because that's what the employer is paying.
Because it's the cost that the employer is bearing that, in theory, in the absence of those costs, they would give to their employee. It would all go to the employee.
Yeah, but it doesn't go to the employee. I would say it's an expense, Mark. I certainly wouldn't count it as income because it doesn't do anything.
No. But the point
Mark characterized it as income. I just disputing that terminology.
I think what he's saying is it would be income if those taxes went away.
Right.
That's the amount the employer is earmarking for you, and so therefore you would get
Ari
it all.
Is correct. Ari is correct, and from an economic standpoint, is that the employer is only going to pay what they have to pay to keep the employee around. What I'm saying is this is a cost of extracting labor from that employee currently for the employer. So they are paying that.
Yes.
I'm not saying that in the absence of these taxes, because it's difficult to say, they probably would get, an employee would probably get more.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the reasons contractors tend to get more than hourly employees. But I can't say from an economic standpoint that certainly that would happen.
Well, the point you made, Aria, about not knowing what you're paying as far as the income tax is concerned is exactly what I was saying before, is that people have no idea, right? Like, they know at the end of the year what the number is in the check that they get back. And
yeah, but that's not even what they paid in at all.
Not necessarily at all. You're correct.
Yeah, it usually isn't. I think of people like my sister, and I've told this story repeatedly on the air. She's almost certainly going to get back. Like, I say get back because that terminology is just so beaten into my head. Mm-hmm. But she's probably going to get a check for $5,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000. I've seen her get a check as high as $13,000.
More than she paid in.
Significantly more. More than 10 times, more than 20 times the amount that she paid in.
Yep. Because she's a head of household, and this is Republican welfare. The Republicans like to incentivize people to have children, you know, inside of wedlock and things like that. And that's their whole plan here.
According to the numbers that I was telling you earlier with the family of four, they would get like $500-something. So it totals out to about $6,300 or $6,400 in a year is what they would get for these rebates, so-called, during the fare tax. If they presumably register with the government.
That's not awful, man. And look, I got to tell you, if you told me that all I had to do was fill out some paperwork with the government and I'd get $6,000 every year, I would be inclined to fill out some paperwork.
Right. Well, because
move to Alaska, you get another $2,000.
Well, because otherwise you're going to be paying that money when you go shopping. And the intention behind the rebate is to lessen the burden of the 23% on the poorest of the poor. So, you know, like I said, you can't fault them for the idea. They're trying to help poorer people in that particular case. But the negative side is you are getting everyone on a check, a monthly check from the federal government. And that is essentially it's welfare. Well, you know, whether you don't want to call it that, they don't want to call it that, but that's what it is.
Well,
it's welfare for every person in the United States who signs up for it.
You mentioned that it's welfare, and I don't know, man. I don't know. As you said, it's also a rebate. This is money that you're paying in.
But that's just a political word for it.
Is it welfare to receive it back, though?
It may not be money you're paying it. I mean, if you could keep your...
That's what I would do, certainly. Yeah. I'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to spend less money, and then I just get free money, right? That would be welfare.
Or they'll go and get food from the food bank or, you know, try to get it wherever they can.
I'm not that cheap.
I know, but some people are.
Sure.
Yeah.
And
not welfare, Aria, but it is. It does have all the functions, all the negative externalities that welfare has.
It creates dependence on the state.
Right.
Where's my check? Right,
and it gets us closer to that UBI turning point, which once
And one of the things that made America great was this independent spirit, this ability to function on our own without assistance. We're essentially wild animals compared to domestic ones, and the domesticated ones, they've got all kinds of issues. They need master, otherwise they'll starve to death. I mean, look at that pet that's sitting next to you right now. Could it make it on its own? But there's wild dogs and wild cats.
Coconut
that you
would
find.
Be fine.
Yeah, well, I don't think he will. Mike got a little jacket just to go out and go poop. Come on.
My cats wouldn't be fine either. I mean, dinner maybe, but Rainbow, she's done. She's toast.
Let's go to the phones here. We got another caller. You're on the air. What's your name, caller? You're on Free Talk Live. Hello? Caller going once. Caller going twice. All right, you're gone.
Humans are definitely curious creatures in that they can be domesticated. And I think that's an interesting way to talk about it, Mark, is that some humans, they do become, and Americans in particular, do have this independent spirit that makes them a little bit less domesticated than we see in other parts of the world. And this is less true today than it has been in the past, certainly, because of the rise of the welfare warfare state that we've seen over the last 250 years since the inception of the United States. But Americans do still have this sort of independent spirit, and it's sad to see that die as people become more and more reliant on the state. And the UBI, this does get us one step closer to that. Once we cross that Rubicon, there's no turning back. We're never going to get people to realize that they can live without a monthly check from the government once they start getting that check. And we see it right now. People can't imagine how we could ever have educated people without a Department of Education, how we could ever have roads without, you know, the government doing it, or how we could have mail without the post office. If we have a universal basic income, that's it. It will never go away, and people will never understand how human beings could ever have survived without getting money directly from the government.
Well, they won't call it a universal basic income. It's a rebate. It's a universal.
Oh, they call it a prebate, actually, is the terminology.
That's what they called it back in the day. What they're now actually calling it is the Family Consumption Allowance. So that's
it's an allowance. That's even worse.
From your daddy government, you're going to get an allowance every month.
Dude.
And again, we are getting ahead of ourselves. This may just crash and burn. It may not pass at all. It may not even come close. And even if it does pass.
But Americans should know what is said about it. Again, I still think this is a better plan than the current Byzantine income tax.
Reluctantly,
structure.
I would agree. But I mean, just if.
When you have three libertarians talking about taxes, they're going to talk about why they stink.
Yeah, well, and it's. I'll reluctantly agree that it is a better plan as it's proposed. If it actually abolishes the IRS, anything that modifies this to keep the IRS makes it a worse plan. So that's my one caveat. If they can actually get rid of the IRS, this would be a step in the right direction. Otherwise, it just makes matters worse.
I agree with that, but I don't think they're going to get rid of the IRS. Now that Mark has brought it to my attention, I think realistically, if it passes, we're going to get both a sales tax and an income tax.
We'll see. We'll keep our eyes on this one for sure. And, of course, you're welcome to join the show. Share your thoughts. The number is 603-283-6160. And you can bring up whatever is on your mind at 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. President Biden met today with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and Mexican President Obrador, the three-way summit to discuss issues facing all three countries.
And together, we've made enormous progress since our last summit, from fighting COVID-19 and strengthening our ability to address public health threats, to investing in and building a 21st century workforce.
Following the meeting, President Biden said cooperation between the nations has led to a decrease in both human and drug trafficking. California's drought may be coming to an end thanks to 2 weeks of torrential rains. National Weather Service said the same sort of winter storms in 2010 and 2016 helped end droughts in California. And an Oklahoma porch pirate is behind bars after attempting to conceal his identity during the robberies by wearing a pair of women's underwear on his head. Tulsa police have surveillance footage of the would-be criminal wearing the panties while attempting to steal packages. John Schaefer, USA News.
Cahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call them toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live. Phones are open. You can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Aria.
And also we have...
And Mark.
Mark's with us as well. I'm remote somewhere on the planet.
In theory.
I'm in Morazan.
Okay, yeah, that's right. He did admit it earlier. Morazan. What is the website for that, Mark, for people that might want to check it out?
Morazan.city.
Spell it.
Well, that certainly clarified things. Mark.
Yeah. M-O-R-Z-A-N.
Wait. M-O-R-Z-A-N?
M-O-R-A-Z-A-N.
Oh, okay, we lost the A. Okay, got it. Yeah. Dot city, you said?
And, yeah, and I've spent the last 24 hours here. It's, it's great. I got to hear the birds wake me up this morning, and, you know, I've noticed how many trees there are around and that kind of thing, but mostly it's just a little housing development, nothing super duper special, and it's got about 64 units. And honestly, I think this is if you want to live in the freest place in the world, you know, this is it. And rent is very, very reasonable. You can live here for less than $500 a month with all utilities included, and it's yeah.
So you used to say that Saipan was the freest place in the world.
Nope, I did not. No. I never said that. And that's one of the problems with radio is that things aren't written down. They're recorded but not written down. Hmm. What I said was Saipan is the freest place in America.
Oh, in America. Okay.
So why is Morazan the freest place in the world?
Well, let me know when New Hampshire gets its own set of...
No. This has nothing to do with New Hampshire. What makes Morazan free? Because you're basically saying, you know, to give you a different question, that is, it's like saying Donald Trump is a good president. When someone says, how can you say he's a good person? You don't immediately say, well, Barack Obama was worse. No, I just want to know what makes Morazan the freest place on earth.
Right. So I will be happy to answer that question. The answer is that they have their own civil law. They, like, ZA in Honduras is able to set up its own civil law. It has its own police force. And the only way that the Honduran police force, who have never entered Morazan, could enter is as if there's some criminal complaint or something like that. And it would have to be pretty major.
So Morazan is a ZA in the Honduras?
Right. So the ZA law has been repealed, but the ZAs that are in existence have a 50-year window.
Mm. Are they fighting, by the way? I know that there's lawyers involved with the one on Roatan, which is an island off of Honduras, where there's another ZA. Is it just the two of them, or are there more than two ZAs in Honduras that you're aware of?
There are three ZAs, but the third one is just I think it's a agricultural thing that wasn't included in previous laws, so they just want to take advantage of it. They don't have the philosophical bend that Morazan or Prospera would have.
So do you know if those two are teaming up to fight the attack on the ZA?
Well, they are individually fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Prospera is certainly waging quite a resistance. Morazan attempted to work with the Honduran government, and things were going forward with that, but then the Honduran government reverted to, the current commies that are running it, reverted mm-hmm. to the kind of rhetoric that commies have, the sovereignty of the Honduran people, which of course they mean mm-hmm. the sovereignty of we who are in charge, because they don't care mm-hmm. anything about the Honduran people. You know, they'll right. be gone in 3 years with their pockets full, stuffed full of the taxpayers' loot, and they will go off to live in Venezuela or wherever.
Now, do you have to, you're in this walled city, right, that got men with shotguns guarding the place, that kind of thing. Do you have to,
is that true, Mark?
Yes, there are men with shotguns guarding the place.
It's outside of a city called, I'm pulling this from the Morazan.city website, Choloma in Honduras, a fairly large city, I presume. Do you have to leave the walled garden to go shopping?
We send people out. I mean, labor is very inexpensive.
Oh, it sounds very free, Mark. You're living in a prison.
I'm not. Look, it's a small.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's a small space, and you can choose to go out, but you will not enjoy the freedom and protection that is afforded to you inside of Morazan. I would also go so far as to say that. Freedom isn't the most exciting thing that one has done. I would say that the invigorating fight against tyranny that you're waging in New Hampshire is more fun. It's more of a purpose. Living in freedom isn't particularly purposeful.
I don't know, man. You had me up until we got to the walled guards, the walls with the guards and the shotguns and, those things
it's
are
just
needed
the size,
for a reason, right?
It's just the size of the place that has the walls with the guns.
Well,
you live in a large prison with walls, with men, and men with guns on those walls.
There are no armed guards on the border with Canada. And the only
there are.
Are there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. You are forced to stop and talk to them when you're trying to go across one side or another.
Are they armed?
You better believe they're armed.
Well, I'm not a fan of that either.
Yeah, I agree with Mark, and that was I said that as well. Like, we're all in some level of a prison. There's no doubt about that. This one that Mark is in is one of his choosing. He's chosen to go to this place, and he says he feels more free within these walls, and you...
That's
you,
not what I said either.
You
That's
are free to leave. Leave.
I am free to leave. And that, what I would say is, in fact, I'm sort of here testing out what these freedoms mean mm-hmm. for me. I can't talk intelligently about it until I've lived it. And we advocate for freedom on Free Talk Live all the time. How can I live with myself if I don't go live in the freest place in the world when I can, especially mm-hmm. when it's very attainable? Rent lower than $500 a month for an individual here, that's nothing.
A choice between plantations
Well, that's what we all have, unfortunately, for this moment. I don't blame Mark for trying this out. I'm actually more curious to see what it's like when you go to Chiloma. Are you going to venture in there and, you know, go grocery shopping? Are you too afraid of what might happen?
I've been to Chiloma many times, probably, geez, I don't want to exaggerate, 12 to 20 times.
Mm-hmm. What is Chiloma? It's a city. That's
Chiloma
right.
Chiloma is the, not so pleasant suburbs of San Pedro Sula.
And what is that?
You know, that's one of the major cities of Honduras. There's basically two major cities, the capital, Tegucigalpa, and the industrial hub of San Pedro Sula. In Chiloma, there's a lot of factories that make, like, underpants and T-shirts and these sorts of things. So much of the clothing in the United States is made in Honduras, and it's made here in places that have special economic zones that have special tax status. And the ZEDE was a step forward in this to create a place that had even better tax status and would probably provide even better jobs. So I've been to Chiloma many times. I don't feel threatened there, and I don't feel unsafe.
Okay.
But
so you'd say
wouldn't walk from Morazan to the grocery store at night.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
You know, so, but there's places in the United States I wouldn't walk at night either.
Yeah, that's true. So would you liken it to kind of like Acapulco, where, you know, for the most part, the fears of the potential murders or whatever completely overblown?
I haven't been here long enough to say. I did do quite a bit of walking in Acapulco, and I felt so long as I was moving and kept moving, I didn't have a problem. I like to walk for exercise, and I wouldn't hang out and, you know, do drug deals or something on the
street.
That's
a bad plan, for sure.
Yeah, of Acapulco, but, you know, I think that, I feel like Chiloma is more dangerous than Acapulco if I had to make
really?
An assertion.
You know, yeah. I don't believe that one should trade freedom for security. So obviously, right? But
yep.
I don't know. Maybe there is. This is something I'm going to have to give some thought to, because is it worth the freedom that you have with the risks that it could entail? I mean, you're scared to go to, well, you're not scared. I don't want
to
use that word.
To go, yeah.
But you won't go to the grocery store at night, because something bad might happen to you. Right?
I wouldn't walk there.
Mm. Right. Okay. You wouldn't walk to the grocery store at night because something bad could happen to you. Maybe there is a trade-off here that's worth making. I don't know. I'm just saying that it's something for me to think about.
Yeah, I think that, so, I would want everybody to know what they're dealing with before they ever decided to come here. And there's room for you if you decide to come.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, currently, at Morazan, there are spaces. So all you have to do is get a hold of me, email me at marketfreetalklive.com, and I'll put you in touch with people that can get you a space, if that's what you want to do. It certainly has its advantages. You're talking about living in a prison. When you're living in an icy hellscape, which so many of Americans are, for the next 3 months, this won't be that way.
Sure.
And
how is it toward trans people? Or is this like a straight white dude only kind of thing?
Well, this is, there's Honduran families here, and there are libertarians here. Not all of them are straight white guys, but I would
Honduras
say that
it's going to be safe for Hondurans, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that sort of goes without saying.
There's 64 households in Morazan. I would say that with that number, that I would feel safe as a trans person. I'm not a trans person, but I would feel safe bringing my friend who is a trans person here. Now, being a trans person is the kind of thing that I could never understand, right? I can't understand why somebody feels, so compelled to dress in a way that is going to bring down so much societal pressure on them. And I suspect that societal pressure will probably exist in a lot of places. I wouldn't call it trans-friendly, but I would feel comfortable in telling you that you're going to be safe here.
Okay.
Let's go to the phones here. I know you want more on this, but let's go to Bad Slave on the line in New Hampshire. Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thanks, guys, for taking my call.
Sure.
You've been talking about taxation, and I think the mistake that a lot of liberty people make is that they think that there is any reason in the present system for at least the federal level of taxation, any reason at all. They, you know, the amount of money that should be, you know, accumulated through extortion as it is supposed to be, you know, some minuscule amount that, you know, does the basic 17 functions of the central government. And we've got to stop looking at these hordes of pirates that are part of the swamp or whatever you want to call it, part of the central government, that somehow they deserve, you know, retirement for doing things that basically kill people and rob people and lie to people. And, you know what I mean?
No, they definitely don't deserve that. I mean, it would be wonderful if we could get rid of government pensions and get rid of taxes entirely. And, you know, maybe we have a chance to do things like that here in New Hampshire, but we're going to have thousands more like-minded, liberty-oriented people migrating here to try to change the system. And it's not an easy task.
That's right. And that's really, I think, the only way forward to a realistic, you know. Sorry, Mark. I can't buy your tin pot, you know, sometimes communist, sometimes maybe not so communist governments, and 'cause they don't have any honesty or honor to
this is why I call the Free State Project the most patriotic organization I know, because they really believe America is the best place in the world.
No, I don't know if that's true.
Their actions belie it.
What's that, Bensley?
You average it out for the past whatever years, and you know, we have inched forward in some freedom areas, and we've fell back in a lot of other hidden areas, and we're all becoming aware of this stuff, so we can do something about it. You can't do anything about
Honduras,
Central America, or whatever, they're all going to, you know.
But Mark is doing something about the Honduran government.
What's he doing about the Honduran government?
He's getting them out of Morazan's life, right? Like, they've got this
for
Zeta
50 years.
Right. But, I mean, and they're fighting that as well to make it more permanent or whatever. But I disagree. I think Mark has the same, or Mark and the whatever, the ZA project, whatever you want to call it, I think they have the same chance of affecting the Honduran government that we in New Hampshire have of affecting the New Hampshire government.
Well, I I'd like to point out, I think it's worth stating and restating is that when do you, Bad Slave, think that New Hampshire is going to have, that you are going to be able to set up a region, a zone in New Hampshire where you can establish your own civil law, your own police, you'd be free of import and export duties, and pay a 1% income tax to the government? When do you think that's going to happen? Because I need a time frame on this in order to make my decision.
You don't have a time frame for anything.
I already have all of those. They're already achieved right now.
No, they aren't.
Yes, they are.
They aren't.
Okay.
They are not. They are a fantasy. And you'll find out as time
laws are a fantasy. I will agree with you about that.
Yes. Mark is literally there, though, Bad Slave. You caught that part, right?
But yeah, he's living at this place, Morazan.city, where all of those things are apparently true.
You know, and they got, what did you say, 64 people there or something, families?
64 units.
That's That is not enough people to, you know, call out the wolves. You know what I mean?
I don't want to do anything with the wolves. I just want them to stay outside.
Yeah, well, that's what won't happen.
Okay.
But is that
They're not
happening?
Staying outside there either. The wolves kicked the door in of Free Talk Live Studios 2 years ago, and they had their way with me. And they had their way
Mark.
With my... they had their way with my good friends, and it's you know, I'm sorry, like there's it's not free there either.
And be done.
Sorry, bad slave. Say that again.
Works, man.
You're breaking up really
bad. Up there, man. Maybe it's because you're getting a little loud. I'm not sure. Say that one more time.
The central government does not have a fix on these things, you know, but New Hampshire has the central government doesn't have jurisdiction over the individual states.
That You're right about that. Act like I will do. Concede that point. New Hampshire has more sovereignty, if we want to use such a term, has more sovereignty, more independence, more control of its jurisdiction than Morazan does. That much is true. However, I would say that Morazan, with its limited amounts of sovereignty and limited jurisdictional power, has more freedom, as defined by libertarians, than New Hampshire does. Now, can you achieve it? I suppose you can. But I wonder to myself, why? If we want to see what this does, and we have it in one place, and we don't have it in another, let's try the place that we have it.
Thank you, Bad Slave, for the call. Appreciate it. Go ahead, Mark.
There's always going to be a battle between tyranny and those who want to live free. There is.
Yeah.
And I see. And if you think that New Hampshire's the best place to fight that battle, then, you know, by all means. But I don't want to fight anymore. I want to build. And the level of freedom I'm looking for is available today. And I just want to build housing and businesses in that area. I think it's a lot easier to lay blocks on top of foundations than it is to fight every day for more freedom.
To each their own.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting, but what happens in 50 years?
I don't know what happens in 50 years. Presumably in 50 years, a much larger amount of freedom that I would predict New Hampshire has either will result in a level of prosperity and success akin to what happened in Hong Kong. It didn't even take 50 years for Hong Kong to show that it was a more prosperous zone than Shenzhen across the
Of course, Hong Kong is a little bit larger than the area that you're dealing with, right? Like you said, there's 64 housing units. Does that pretty much max the place out, or could they build another 64 on top of the existing 64 and go up a level? I think we might have lost Mark. So apparently the internet is also an issue there. He did mention this, by the way, earlier to me, right before we started the show. He did tell me they did have an internet outage at some point earlier today at Morazan.city.
I'm back. I'm terribly sorry about that. It seems to be an internet outage about once every hour here for about 40 seconds, and it's embarrassing, but it's true.
We're trying to get it fixed. Did you happen to hear
yes.
my question? Go ahead.
Yeah, the question was, what happens in 50 years?
Well, there was a subsequent question, which was, the size of the place is fairly limited by comparison. You were comparing to Hong Kong, and of course that's, you know, got a couple million people or whatever there. Your place has 64 housing units. Can they build another 64 units on top of the existing ones and you know, scale up? Or is 64 the max?
They have 2.5 square kilometers here, so they could. They have. If you go to Morazan,
is that like 5 miles, or is
no much smaller than that?
Okay,
it's probably somewhere around something shy of a square mile.
Sorry, I always forget which direction the 2.2 goes.
Yeah.
Okay, so square mile. So they could expand beyond the 64 units, is what you're saying.
Easily.
Okay.
And they have the plans for that. It's it's a giant plan already at Morazan.city if you want to go look at that. But also the ZA laws at one point included the ability to add add land. All a landowner had to do was say, I want to be part of the ZA, and the ZA agree that you can be part of the ZA, and then they would have to work with the government to change hands of the deed.
But that's
where the sticking point is right now.
That's been repealed completely.
Currently the government doesn't want to let go of land, but there will be a new government in 3 years.
Yeah, okay. And I don't think the 50 years thing is terribly important. And, you know, people can say this is short-sighted to me and whatever, if they want to do that, that's fine. But there's not a very high chance that I'm going to even be alive in 50 years.
Sure, but some people have children, right? Like a lot of people, they want to see more liberty for their offspring and their children's children.
I completely understand, but I'm not one of them.
Sure.
I don't have to. I mean, the world could crash and burn in an apocalyptic hellscape in 50 years, and it really won't matter to me. I would prefer that not to happen, mm-hmm. just for moral and philosophical reasons and whatever, but it's not going to affect me. So if I can achieve liberty in my lifetime and have 100% freedom, I don't care if Hitler comes back from the dead and takes over the universe in 50 years when I'm dead, right? Maybe that's narcissistic. And
I think a lot, maybe it is, but a lot of people, they, even like somebody like me, I don't have children. I got a vasectomy years ago, 20 years ago or whatever. I'm not planning on having children, but I do see the value in working towards more freedom just generally, right? Just for people that do come later on.
I don't mean to say that I don't see value in that. Certainly I don't want. I don't think I would take that trade of, okay, you'll have complete freedom for the rest of your life, but afterward there's no freedom. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would necessarily make that trade, but I'm also not going to base my life around or make any sort of decisions about how to live my life based on what may or may not happen in 50 years, you know? I don't know how to convey what I'm trying to say.
I kind of get where you're coming from there. Mark, you are in Morazan.city. That is the website, M-O-R-A-Z-O-C-A-N?
Z-A-N.
M-O-R-A-Z-A-N.city. For those that are more interested in checking out that as an alternative to trying to change things in the U.S., and I think it's worth looking into because there should be different approaches out there. We're going to continue. There's more coming up here with feminine or female M&Ms. Apparently, there's a new controversy. Aria is going to tell us about it coming up in Hour 3 and your calls as well.
If you're like most Americans, you can see things are out of control. Global problems have local consequences, too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, you'd better be ready. Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. And as you'd expect from a true preparedness company, our food kits are in stock and ship quickly. Those who know what's coming are preparing today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.